This week, Last Chance Foods examines coconut oil, a pantry item with a bad reputation. In the 90s, scientists announced that coconut oil in movie theater popcorn clogged arteries and raised cholesterol. But now, it's returned to the scene as a health food and a vegan alternative to butter. Melissa Clark writes the Good Appetite column for the New York Times, and she's here to break down the pros and cons of coconut oil for this week's edition of Last Chance Foods. Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
So, we've heard about the evils of saturated fat in coconut oil for years. What has changed? Why is it suddenly not so bad for us?
Well, the fact is it was never as bad as we thought it was. And the reason for that is when people in the 80s started talking about coconut oil being this evil fat, they were thinking about a specific kind of coconut oil, and that's hydrogenated coconut oil. And what you do when you hydrogenate something is you change its very nature. And the reason people were hydrogenating coconut oil was because this was back when we were, you know, just starting to break the news about cholesterol and heart disease and the link between the two. So there was a lot of funding for these scientific experiments. And what they needed was a control substance that they knew would raise cholesterol in these laboratory animals. Hydrogenated coconut oil absolutely did that. The thing is that because of that, coconut oil got this terrible reputation when non-hydrogenated virgin coconut oil, the pure stuff actually squeezed from coconuts, is not as bad for you as we were led to believe.
Dr. Tom Brenna, professor of human nutrition at Cornell University, who you interviewed for your recent article about coconut oil, says that what you find in health food stores these days is not your father's coconut oil.
One is highly processed, and the other one is much less processed. And the less processed one, which we call virgin coconut oil, seems to be a much more healthful product.
We touched a little bit on saturated fat, and now I guess the thinking about sat fat is
totally changed.
Totally changed.
Yeah.
Tell me what's happening there.
Well, what's happened is that all the studies that formerly linked saturated fat to heart disease have been peer-reviewed, and they've been discovered to not be so solid as we thought they are. So what nutritionists are now saying is that saturated fat is not necessarily linked to heart disease at all. So we've been hearing for years and years and years, don't eat the stuff, don't eat the stuff. And now we're hearing, oh, well, maybe you can eat a little bit of it as long as you don't overdo it. The fact is, there are also different kinds of saturated fats. And we've been lumping it together in this big evil cloud of saturated fat. But there are different kinds. And coconut oil has a particular kind of saturated fat called a medium chain saturated fat, which is primarily made of lauric acid. And this type of saturated fat is actually not shown to be directly connected to heart disease at all.
You mentioned lauric acid. Here's Dr. Brenna's thoughts on whether coconut oil is around to stay. And he thinks lauric acid is going to play a part in that.
Coconut oil could be a passing fad in terms of, let's say, Americans eating large amounts of it to get its lauric acid. But there are populations that eat an awful lot of coconut oil and seem to be pretty healthy.
What are some of the pros of eating coconut oil? What's the good stuff behind lauric acid?
Well, you know, there's a lot of myths about lauric acid as well. I mean, the research is just starting to be done on whether it really does promote health. One of the things we know it does is that it boosts the immune system, and it's very easily digestible. So who is this good for? It's good for newborn infants. And it turns out that lauric acid is a primary component in mother's milk, in breast milk.
Oh.
So when you're nursing your baby, you're actually giving your baby these saturated fats, which are protecting their gastrointestinal tract from, you know, invaders, from bacteria and disease. So it's helping their immune system. And it's also easily digested for babies who don't have fully developed gastrointestinal tracts. Now, of course, you go on the internet and you type in lauric acid, and it starts to tell you that it's good for everything. It's good for acne. It's good for, you know, it's going to cure the common cold. It's going to help you lose weight. And none of those things are proven at all.
All right, so take it all with a grain of salt.
Exactly.
But try it, which you did. So,
well, that's the best thing about coconut oil. It tastes good. It cooks food beautifully because it can withstand pretty high temperatures. It doesn't break down, and it gives just a real gentle sweetness to foods, especially when you're sautéing things like chicken or vegetables. It's also a boon for vegans because it's not an animal fat, yet it's a saturated fat. It stays solid at room temperature, and you can use it as if you were using butter or lard in a pie crust, in pastries, and it adds that same light flakiness.
And you had a recipe in the Times of, was it sweet potatoes?
Ah, the sweet potatoes. Shin, have you ever had a coconut sweet potato pie? It's so good.
Yes.
And so imagine those two flavors. You take your sweet potatoes, you cut them into cubes, and you just toss them with coconut oil, which adds that wonderful coconutty perfume. And I added some cinnamon and some other spices, and then you roast them in the oven, and it's like your whole house smells sounds like Thanksgiving.
Oh, it sounds great. You got me hungry. Melissa Clark writes the New York Times column Good Appetite and is the author of the book In the Kitchen with a Good Appetite, 150 recipes and stories about the food you love. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
To learn more about coconut oil and to get Melissa's recipe for double coconut granola, click on culture at WNYC.org. I also blog about my Last Chance Foods interviews. Check it out under Amy's Food for Thought. This is WNYC.